Good morning, boys. How are you doing? Do you have any prayer requests? Brothers and sisters around the world, that's good. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we pray to you. We thank you so much for your goodness, your mercies on us, on everyone. We thank you for these dear young boys here. Bless them. Help them to be good. Help them to be faithful and obedient. Help each one of us to be sons of you by being obedient to you. Fill us with your Spirit. We pray that you would grant guidance and be with these requests that came up. Be with Brother David, Marcus. Bless them on their missionary trainings. Be with Linda. Be with the brothers and sisters around the world. That each one can just be grounded and rooted in you. Pray in Jesus' name. Okay. For our lesson this morning, I guess it's Job 34. Is that right? Colby, you're at 33. Okay. Job 34. But I was this morning reflecting a lot on Elihu. It starts in chapter 32. Does anyone remember anything about Elihu? What seemed to be his great problem that by this time he had sat in and listened to all these debates going on between Job and his friends? What seemed to be kind of his big problem that he had? You'll notice it there in chapter 32. He really was disappointed that Job's friends were silenced by Job, and that they could not refute him, and that he was righteous and innocent before God. And so he wanted his turn to try to make his case against Job, saying that he must be wrong somewhere. And you'll notice a lot of similarities between Job and Jesus in those ways. Jesus, being a just man, too, was being accused by his accusers. And then another group of accusers came up. I'm reflecting to Matthew 22, where the Pharisees were silenced by Jesus. It says that when the Sadducees seen that Jesus silenced the Pharisees, they gathered together to see how they could come against Jesus. I think that's kind of what was going on here. Elihu being kind of stirred and seeing that his friends were silenced by Job. And then he starts talking to Job, and pretty much making the same accusation, I think, as the other three friends had done. Another thing that I noticed was, I think Elihu was right in some of the things that he said. He was a young man, and he said that it says, I am young, you are old, so I held back from telling you what I think. That's in chapter 33, verse 6. I think that was wisdom. Him being younger, and he had to control himself to let the older people speak first. And so I think that was a wise thing for young Elihu to do, was to wait. And I think it was hard for him to wait for his turn. So let's read in chapter 34. I think I'll read it in the New Living Translation. Then Elihu said, "Listen to me, you wise men. Pay attention, you who have knowledge. Job said, the ear tests the words it hears, just as the mouth distinguishes between foods. So let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good. For Job also said, I am innocent, but God has taken away my rights. I am innocent, but you call me a liar. My suffering is incurable, though I have not sinned." That seemed to be the big thing that they were trying to... that was a big debate. Is Job was just... He was... Well, in God's eyes, he was a righteous man. It says here in the beginning of Job that he feared God and he eschewed evil. And that was one thing that his friends couldn't see. And it's very important that we're able to see things the way God sees it. Because later on in the end of the book of Job, it says that God was wroth with Job's friends. And I think that's why he was wroth, because they were making false accusations. So it's very important that we really know that we really walk in the light and that we really do what's right, so we know whether, so we can discern a man whether he's righteous or whether he's not righteous. Verse 7, "Tell me, has there ever been a man like Job?" This is Elihu making his defense. "With his thirst for irritable talk, he chooses evil people as companions. He spends his time with wicked men. He has even said, why waste time trying to please God?" And I don't know, this is an accusation. I guess if I'm reading that right, that's an accusation that Elihu is making against Job. And I couldn't find Job ever having said that like earlier in the book. But so I don't know, was it like a straight up just a false accusation? I can't really imagine Job actually just saying that it's a waste of time to try to please God.
Might
read it out of the Septuagint. Completely different. The exact opposite. Verse 7. In the Septuagint, it says, "What man is that Job drinking, scorning like water, saying, I have not sinned, nor committed ungodliness, nor have fellowship with workers of iniquity, to go with the ungodly? For thou shouldest not say, there shall be no visitation of a man, whereas there is a visitation of him from the Lord." Yeah, it doesn't really say anything close to this. It just kind of bypasses, you know, what it says here.
I think he's proving to other guys that Job...
He's proving that Job's three friends.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Okay. Then verse 10. "Listen to me, you who have understanding. Everyone knows that God doesn't sin. The Almighty can do no wrong. He repays people according to their deeds. He treats people as they deserve. Surely God will not do wrong. The Almighty will not twist justice. Did someone else put the world in His care? Who set the whole world in place? If God were to take back His Spirit and withdraw His breath, all life would cease, and humanity would turn again to dust. Now listen to me. If you are wise, pay attention to what I say. Could God govern if He hated justice? Are you going to condemn the Almighty Judge? For He says to kings, "You are wicked," and to nobles, "You are unjust." He doesn't care how great a person may be, and He pays no attention to the rich. He pays no more attention to the rich than to the poor. He made them all. In a moment they die. In the middle of the night they pass away. The mighty are removed without human hand. For God watches how people live. He sees everything they do. No darkness is thick enough to hide the wicked from His eyes. We don't set the time when we will come before God in judgment. He brings the mighty to ruin without asking anyone. And He sets up others in their place. He knows what they do, and in the night He overturns and destroys them. He strikes them down because they are wicked, doing it openly for all to see. For they turn away from following Him. They have no respect for any of His ways. They cause the poor to cry out, catching God's attention. He hears the cries of the needy, but if He chooses to remain quiet, who can criticize Him? When He hides His face, no one can find Him, whether an individual or a nation. He prevents the godless from ruling, so they cannot be a snare to the people. Why don't people say to God, "I have sinned, but I will sin no more"? Or, "I don't know what evil I have done. Tell me. If I have done wrong, I will stop at once." Must God tailor His justice to your demands? But you have rejected Him. The choice is yours, not mine. Go ahead, share your wisdom with us. After all, bright people will tell me, and wise people will hear me say, "Job speaks out of ignorance. His words lack insight. Job, you deserve the maximum penalty for the wicked way you have talked, for you have added rebellion to your sins. You show no respect, and you speak many words against God, many angry words against God." Well, that young man, I think, understood a lot of God's ways. It seemed like most of that, what we read there, seemed to, like he was saying to Job, and I think he was saying it to Job, and also probably the three friends, and I don't know, was he like rebuking both of them, maybe even kind of? It seemed like maybe he was. But he was saying some things that are right about what God is and how He deals with people. But Phil himself, I think, again, he was still off in that he could not discern Job as being a righteous man. And that's a pretty big thing that we need to be able to discern is, be able to discern a righteous man. Be able to, I guess you could say, be able to know the fruit that's on the tree. So, I think we'll go ahead and have your verses now on thankfulness. If you could all just stand up and then one by one, come up here and say your verses, maybe starting with you can just do the first and go around. Say it loud and clear, there's many people in the back.
Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Philippians 4:6. Be conscious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thankfulness, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body to be faithful.
Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful.
First Corinthians 1:4. I thank my God always for the grace which was given by to God in Christ Jesus.
Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be
Tate.
Question 317. And whatever you do, do it with all, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We always ought to be thanking God for you, brothers, as it is right to do so, because your faith is growing so much, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing.
Is that everyone? Well, good job. I appreciate your effort in raising your voice. For next week, look up verses on patience. Just had to think of patience because of Job. It says in James 5 that hear the patience of Job. Some translations say endurance. Hear the endurance of Job. But look for verses on patience. It just took great patience for Job, I think, to just let himself, his reputation, his, you know, his friends come by and just, you know, chew him out. And that's one of the things that it's a part of the Christian walk, is to just be able to take that. So, you're dismissed.